Amen. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 1. Do not fear. I'm not preaching a full message, even though I am full. 1 Kings chapter 1, I want us to take just a few minutes and actually listen to from this text the opposite of what we've just heard testified to. Rob and Joel and all of us who have had anything to do with watching what God has been doing in their lives have seen what a true God call is and what it looks like and the humility and the dependency. What we see in 1 Kings 1 is what we could call a self-call. And I believe it is helpful for us to put the two against each other so that we can all hear from the Word of God the difference between a self-call and a God call. So we're going to see five characteristics of this self-call. Let's read 1 Kings 1, now 1 through 10. And if you're using one of the seat Bibles, it's page 278. Now, King David was old and advanced in years. And although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore, his servants said to him, "Let a young woman be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in her arms, that my lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking, "Why have you done thus and so?" He was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, and they followed Adonijah and helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and David's mighty men were not with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle by the serpent stone, which is beside Enrogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah, but he did not invite Nathan, the prophet, or Benaiah, or the mighty men, or Solomon, his brother. So David is the king of Israel. He is old. His son Adonijah decides it's time. Out with the old, in with the new. It's time for me to claim my throne. And in verses 1 through 4, you read those and you wonder, what in the world is this saying? Like, why are four verses in the Word of God given to describe David's body temperature and his servants getting on Craigslist to find a human electric blanket to try to keep him warm? Poor Abishag. Like, she will forever be known as the human carpet. Abby. Shag. Sorry. Now, it sounds scandalous, but verse 4 makes it clear that the king knew her not. So why is this in the Bible? It communicates very clear. You remember Ben said last week, you could say the king was weak, or you could tell a story. And that's what the Bible is telling. Because in that culture, a man's virility was as significant as a woman's fertility. And so the story makes it clear. David is vulnerable, not virile. this warrior, this man of all men, is at a very vulnerable stage in life. And his son, rather than honoring him, exalted himself and sought to overthrow him. First big point of self-call versus God's call is he undermined his authority rather than honoring his authority. His dad was at a very weak place in his life. Adonijah should have been honoring his father, caring for his father. God called leaders, care for the weak, the poor, the unborn, the elderly, the mentally and physically handicapped, women, children. God called leaders, care for them. They don't spot a weakness and seek to use it for their own advantage. It's one of the big differences between a God call and a self call. Verse 6, first part of verse 6, it says, Adonijah had never learned to welcome correction. His father had never rebuked him, corrected him, put him in his place. We've had major studies that have just come out even this week to show we're raising a generation in that same mindset, who are not used to being told no and do not have an accurate view of their own strengths and weaknesses. There's delusion there. We could talk about 100 reasons why. But the self-call, it has a sense that I'm special and I should be recognized for my abilities and I should be recognized right now. Right now. And that's what Adonijah did. He undermined his authority rather than honoring his authority. Number two, closely related to that, he exalted himself rather than humbling himself. Look at verse 5. He exalted himself rather than humbling himself. Now, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. This was not a case of ignorance. God's will and David's desire were clear. 1 Chronicles 22:9-10 makes it clear. Solomon is the next king. God is the one who places people in authority. And Adonijah is basically saying, I don't like the role that I've been called to play. I don't like the position God has put me in. I want his position. And I don't want to wait. I know we just sang, God is my help and he will not delay. But sometimes it does feel like he's delaying, doesn't it? I mean, he doesn't delay on his timetable, but sometimes it sure feels like delay on our timetable. And what our hearts do at that moment when we experience that pause in our plans reveals a lot about whether we have a sense of God call or self-call. If we had time to keep reading through this story, you would see in chapter 3 the contrast in Solomon, who was far from a perfect man, but he described himself as like a child. He pleaded with God, give me what I don't have to do what you've called me to do. Very different kind of call than this exalting himself. Jesus said in Mark 10:42-45, when James and John asked to sit on another throne, Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What has God called you to do? Very easy to look around work and feel like I'm not being recognized like she is or he is. It's very easy as a student to feel like what I'm doing is not significant. Or as a mom, I'm tired of changing diapers. Like, this stinks. The culture we live in and our own hearts determine what is valuable. And if what I'm doing doesn't feel valuable enough, it's easy to say, I will be blank. I will have whatever. If you enter the ministry for any other reason than to die to self and sin and serve God's people, you will be disappointed. Number two, he exalted himself rather than humbling self. Number three, he relied on his image rather than his character. Look at the second part of verse 6. He relied on his image rather than his character. It says he was a very handsome man. The text is emphasizing the superficial. He was good looking. He was well connected. He was born next after Absalom. There were four sons born to David in Hebron. 2 Samuel 3 describes Amnon, who was killed by Absalom, Kileab, who probably died as a child, Absalom, who was killed by Joab when he revolted, and then next in line was Adonijah. So Adonijah is looking at the mirror, and then he's looking at his resume, and he's checking off who's next, and he's saying, I'm your man. But he's basing that all on human eyes. The images who people think we are or who we think we are in contrast to who God knows we are. Number four, he surrounded himself with fans rather than friends. Verses 7 and 8. It's interesting that the text emphasizes with all the people that followed Adonijah in contrast to those who didn't follow him. Nathan is mentioned in verse 8 as not following and in verse 10 as not following. Who's Nathan? Remember the prophet? Anytime you hear the name Nathan, I mean the big bony finger, you know, comes to mind. Him standing before King David who could take his life and saying, you are the man, King David, who committed this horrible sin. We need Nathans in our lives. Adonijah's like, let's figure out who's going to follow me, and it's not going to be Nathan. No. We don't want him. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. And in contrast, Adonijah, he moved toward influential people, not truthful people. In verse 41, it tells us he had a feast. He bought their support. And if you keep reading through the chapter, you'll see the whole plan fell apart. Solomon was established as king by David. But this passage is a powerful testimony of the contrast between self-call and God-call. In Exodus 18:21, when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, was telling him he needs help or he's going to die young, he said, you need to find able men who are trustworthy, who hate a bribe, who hate a bribe. In other words, they cannot be bought. They cannot be pressured to say what you want them to say, even when it's not right, when it's not true. He surrounded himself with fans rather than friends. Let me just say a word to anyone considering going in the ministry. We need friends around us who will tell us the truth constantly so that we can see our own hearts. And even you need a wife. Has your wife looked at you at times? I'm not talking about being critical or emasculating you or constantly negative. That's not what I'm talking about. But every once in a while, she should look at you and say, you're being a doofus. And you receive that. which is really hard. It's one of the evidences of God's grace if you can humble yourself before those you're closest to. A lot of people say, I want someone to speak into my life. I want accountability. Okay, you've got it right now. Look closest to you. Are the people in your life right now invited to speak the truth to you? So stop lying to yourself if you won't listen to them and you have this euphoric view of one day I hope to have a real mentor. Listen to those who are closest to you. Welcome their input. He surrounded himself with fans rather than friends. Number five, this is the most important one. He used God to advance his own cause rather than worshiping God and advancing God's kingdom. His kingdom. You see this strongly portrayed in verse 9. Adonijah sacrificed sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle by the serpent stone. So when Adonijah, I mean, here he's actually part of a coup, rising up and taking over the throne. But what is he doing? He's bringing God into his own plan and trying to put God's stamp on his own kingdom. That's sickening. God is up to something colossal here, as we saw in the book of Ruth, flowing through Ruth and Boaz to King David, to King Solomon, and on through to Jesus. God is building his kingdom. Adonijah is basically trying to hijack God's plan and then put his own plan forward and then stamp God's name on it. When I see Adonijah's heart, I see my own. You know, my own impatience, my own desire to have it my way, my greed, my craving for credit. That's why all year I've had this quotation by Jack Miller on my whiteboard right above my desk. I keep looking at it and asking God to daily do this work in my heart. We must repent for falling dismally short of the true model, that of our good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Die for the sheep as you study the word. Die as you agonize in prayer for them. Die as you look at some backsliding. Die as you wrestle with your own self-love. And then you will find daily a resurrection of power in life and ministry. Can't live if we won't die. God can only raise up dead people. You can't raise someone who's alive. And so God is calling us. The God call is characterized by a death, burial, resurrection. And that doesn't just happen once, because we keep jumping off our crosses. It's daily. We die to those cravings. We die to that self-love. We die, and then we look to Christ, and he raises us in his death, burial, resurrection. But the timing of that and the way he does that, It is all God. It's all God. So how do I know if I'm doing that? This is the question I asked after I read that. And Jack Miller goes on to answer that. He says, the test of your willingness is whether you are willing to give yourself to the flock without calculation on your part. In other words, you will lay your life out for someone and seek to help someone, and they might bite you. How do you respond to that? That tells you why you've done it. If you're in it for self-glory, if you're in it for self-exaltation, if you're in it for credit, if you're in it for results, you'll bite back or you'll crawl in a hole and slip into despair. One of the lessons here, some of you might think, is, okay, never seek to be a leader. I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't want to be an Adonijah. And there's a danger there too. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. The thought that I can't lead and the thought that I will lead are still characterized by self-call. I can't. I will. Who's still in the center? Yeah, I'm still calling the shots. Adonijah's sin was not that he wanted to lead. It was that he exalted himself. And I am so thankful that the two men we've had a privilege of ordaining, we've also, in community, seen them humble themselves, serve quietly, behind the scenes, when no one was looking, take the lower seat, and God, in his time, in his way, sets up those who will lead. So let me speak just in conclusion to a couple of you who are very timid, specifically to some men in here who are timid. Ask someone who knows you, can you see me as a shepherding group leader? A deacon, an elder, a pastor, a woman's ministry leader. Can you see me doing this? And if so, what would it take to change? If not, what is God doing in my life to prepare me for ministry? And if those who know you or you minister to confirm, then come to an elder and say, would you pray with me? I am willing to lead, but I am uncertain. I want to learn what it means to die to self and to serve God's people. I'm willing to do the menial tasks behind the scenes. I don't want to say because my personality is shy or whatever, I won't lead. But I don't want to be an Adonijah either and exalt myself. But I'm making myself available to God. God, I love your people. I love to exalt your name. Could you use me? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you did not exalt yourself, but you became nothing, a servant. You took the lowest seat. You died, and Father, you have exalted your Son. And now you are calling and gifting and equipping for the glory of your name and the advancement of your kingdom. And we at North Hills Community Church are privileged to benefit from your work. And so now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go make disciples.